Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and I'm very excited. We are live here at Romantic Times Convention, and this is our first live show. So bear that in mind as we do this panel. I'm excited to have this panel. I think this is something that will be very interesting to all of our listeners. And we're going to be talking with several authors, and I'm going to let them all introduce themselves in a moment. And we're going to be talking about cross genres, and specifically we're going to talk about romance because we're here at Romantic Times, and we're going to talk about thrillers because we have Thriller Fest coming up, and I have a lot of my Thriller Fest friends here. So what I want to do is we're going to just go around the table quickly, and I'll have each person introduce themselves. And if you could go ahead and give your URL so that anybody who's listening, if they're interested in going to look you up as we're chatting, it gives them a chance to do that, because we do have people sometimes call in or go to the chat board. And then when we wrap up the show, we'll do that again just to make sure. So, Julie, let's start with you.
My name is Julie Craver, and my first book, Stalking Susan, won last year's Romantic Times Best First Mystery.
I know that.
Yes. And so I came back here to RT because I had such a good time last year. And since then, I've written another book, Missing Mark, and I have a third coming out, Silencing Sam. And I'm a journalist turned novelist, and my books are set in the desperate world of television news.
You know, I actually went to a panel. You were on a panel I went to, and you were talking about, I was so interested in that. I was so interested because you were talking about how you kind of get the inside scoop, and how your colleagues weren't sure they wanted you to give that out.
I've had some of them think that I may be a little too candid about the flaws of the profession, and I've had people to say, Craver, did you have to tell them? Is it bleep it leaves?
And your URL, your website?
Is juliecramerbooks.com.
juliecramerbooks.com.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Rick.
Hi, I'm Rick Molina. This is my second RT. I'm a former crime reporter in newspapers, and my books largely feature a male protagonist who is a news reporter, newspaper reporter, or newswire service reporter. My last release, Vengeance Road, introduced a new series, a reporter from Buffalo, New York, who aspires to join a news agency in New York City, and it was nominated for Best Paperback Original by the International Thriller Writers.
Oh, congratulations.
And thank you. And that will be announced. So it's going to be announced at Thriller Fest at the banquet in July in New York. Quite excited about that.
And your website?
My website is rickmofina.com. And I'm also on Facebook as well. If you look up the best-selling author page, it's Rick Mofina Best-Selling Author.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm going to go make sure we're friends then, because I keep in touch with Andy, too, on Facebook. So over to you, Andy.
Andrew Peterson. My novel is called First to Kill. It's about a former Marine Corps sniper who helps the FBI solve a crime in which a large amount of plastic explosives have been stolen. So there's kind of a ticking clock going in that one. And my website is andrewpeterson.com. First to Kill is my first book. And I just finished the second one, which is being reviewed by my editor as we speak.
Now, is that like a follow-up?
Yes, it's a serious character. I was nominated for the same award that Julie won, I might add. So.
Well, it's nice to be nominated.
Andy's such a good sport.
I am.
But, you know, that's nice to be nominated. I mean, it's just that validation for...
It's an honor just to be nominated.
It is.
It is.
That's nice.
But winning is one step above being nominated, I think. So.
Your time will come. I'm certain that a lot of great books lined up. Your time will come.
Okay. I'm Jennifer St. Giles. I write a number of different things. I write gothic historical murder mysteries, romances. I write paranormal thrillers. And upcoming, I have a military suspense coming out. I write under Jennifer St. Giles, which you can find me at jenniferstgiles.com. or I write under JL Saint, which is the way the military suspense will be coming out, and you'll find that at jlsaint.com. Lead you to the same place at this point, but I'll eventually branch out with my website. And let's see, award-wise, I've won the Best History Suspense Historical from RT. I've won Daphne du Maurier Award, National Reader's Choice Award. So I'm here, and I'm glad to be here.
Now, I know you're planning on going to Thriller Fest.
Yeah, it'll be my first time this year.
Yeah. First time to go to Thriller Fest. So that kind of leads into what we're going to talk about, which is the crossing genres and mixing that. And you know, you have thrillers that have, you know, romantic elements and romance novels with, you know, suspense in them. So here's the question. And is this something that has evolved organically over the years as an answer to what readers want, or do you think it's more intentional? Are authors or publishers hoping to reach a wider audience and planning out the crossing of genres? I mean, Julie, I'll start with you. What do you think?
Well, I think publishers actually don't really want you to cross over genres. They want to know what to call your book so that the bookstores know what section of the store to keep it in. And I think that the crossing over, the blurring the lines, is more on an author end, maybe for, I don't know, creativity or people wanting to tell more than one story.
Okay. Yeah, I would have to agree with Julie on that. I would definitely agree that publishers want to pigeonhole you into a certain spot and then they don't want you to branch out of it.
So why do you think it's more important that it's easy for somebody to say, and maybe label isn't the right word, but I mean, that's what I'm going to use, but to label you as a thriller writer, a romance writer, because it's easy to hand it over to the bookseller and say, here, go shelf it there? I mean, do you think that maybe they would benefit more from doing something like what you all are doing, as far as reaching out to this broader audience and bringing in people? Like, I would never have read Andrew Peterson's book if I had not, you know, met you and, you know, got to know you only because there's so many books out there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, I think I'm going to give this a try. And then you got me as a reader where that, you know, if I just saw you in the bookstore, I might not have just gone over and got that, because I often tend to go and look at romantic suspense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I absolutely loved your book. So I'm going to go over to Rick and ask you, what do you think? Is this, did this evolve, and this is just something that you think the readers have kind of, are you influenced by the feedback that you get from readers to a point that it might make you consider adding romance?
Well, my take on it is it has been organic. I think marketing is a confining and necessary narrowing procedure that we all go through. The publishers need to do that. I totally agree with what's been said, because the book industry needs to put you in places they don't really like to blur unless you have incredible mass appeal to everybody, and those are usually books that are discovered later when it's word of mouth that drives them. I think for the author, I don't necessarily consciously put those types of storylines in my books, but you want readers to know that this is not something that would this would appeal to you. I'll give you an example. When we were looking at jacket copy for some of my books, we would say, look, there's a Clancy-esque element to the book. There's a sort of a Mary Higgins Clark element to the books, and you don't want to turn off either camp. You want to say this could appeal to this side of the fence, and this could also appeal to the other side of the fence. And so the publisher listens, in my case, and we try to walk that fine line. And by coming to events like this, you're trying to say, look, there may be elements in my book that you might enjoy. Don't discount it because of the narrow focus of the cover, the jacket copy, marketing, and the stereotyping of a particular book. And I think you hope to plant the seed for word of mouth, that readers will say, hey, this isn't so bad, this isn't graphic, or this is really what I like. And that's what I've been getting at the RTs I've been attending. It takes a while, but people come up to you and they want to know what your books are about. Are there elements that may appeal to them?
So, Andrew, let's go ahead and ask you the same question. Is, you know, do you feel this is something that, if, I mean, you've come to, if it's your, you said you're second.
Yeah, yeah.
Your second. Do you feel like this is something that it is just kind of evolving from the wants of the readers, or do you think that it's kind of like a marketing thing where you need to expand the readership so that you sell more books?
I think the crossing of genres is natural in books. All thrillers have an element of mystery in them. Almost all of them do. Some have elements of suspense. Thrillers can be broken down into a lot of different genres, political thrillers, military thrillers, espionage thrillers. I think the same is true with romance. There's a lot of different categories and subcategories of romance.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I think market forces are driving the industry. What is it that people want to read? Do they want to read paranormal romance, shapeshifters, vampires, werewolves? So I think authors are catering to what people want to read. I don't know if that answers your question, but
yeah,
I think
yeah.
The blending of genres is very normal, and you're right, it has occurred as an evolution in the industry, at least in my opinion.
Well, yeah, and I have to give kudos to those of you who are really reaching out kind of beyond, I can't say it's your comfort zone because I don't know, but kind of beyond, I guess, maybe what the expectation is. I expect to see you at Thriller Fest, or I expect to see you at Romantic Times. And then I go, you know, and I see you somewhere else, and it's like, it's really almost like an epiphany of, yeah, you know, I guess that person does kind of belong here. I didn't really think of them that way. So let me, I'll just kind of segue into my next question as far as,
let me just say that, as you were just saying right now, but part of it is, Romantic Times isn't just Romantic Times anymore. They're RT book reviews, and they've gone mainstream. Their base, their niche has been romance, but they have been the ones that have been welcoming authors of all genres. And like, for instance, you know, they give awards to all sorts of genres, to historicals, to mysteries, across the board. And I think that's what's drawing us here is we're feeling welcome by the organization. We're feeling welcome by the readers when they're here.
Absolutely. They embrace it.
Yes.
And we hope the same is true with the Mystery Camp. And anecdotally, it was at the very first Thriller Fest in Phoenix that I first met Heather Graham and Erica Spindler. And they turned the light on for me. They said, you should come to these events. And they named a few. You should cross over. In a way, and we joked it was at the bar, but I had to simplify it for my slow on
is
the uptake.
it's
sort of like pop music, country. You know, there a good song is a toe tapper. It's a good song. A good story is a good story. If it has elements, and most of my books do have elements of relationship issues, whoever they are, usually man, woman relationship issues, family relationship issues, that people, hopefully will find interesting enough to follow along in the story. And I think that's sort of true of all books, really.
I've been coming to RT for 16 years.
Wow.
And I've seen a broadening of the readership. I have seen the blending of the genres occur.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is driven by the readers. They want more. And, you know, they want broader horizons. They want to have a full story. And in that means that they want to have the thrill of the action and the adventure, and they want to have the whole fullness of emotion that you can build between characters in a romance, as well as all of the, it's sort of like how fantasy, they blend strong emotion with alternate worlds and action, and so readers are wanting more of this, in all of their books.
But can I add something? It was really interesting you mentioned RT welcoming other genres and authors. When I first came to RT in Orlando last year, I was a thriller author surrounded by 95% women romance readers. Am I going to be completely out of place here? But surprisingly, I was very much welcomed with open arms.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that I think Thriller Fest really should try to embrace more romance readers to get them there. I think you're right on that.
I will say, last year at Thriller Fest, I attended a panel specifically because it was being run primarily by male thriller writers. The moderator was female, and they were talking about romance books, and I thought, I have got to go to that. And my friend Doug Plagg was there. There were a few people that I knew there. This has got to be good. And yeah, I was so pleasantly, maybe not surprised, because some of those people I knew, they had respect, you know, for the genre, and some of those people I didn't know at all. And it was nice to hear them talking about, you know, romance. You have to acknowledge it. You have to embrace it. You know, you can't ignore it, and it's something to respect. And that was pretty much the message of the panel. And I just like, I'm at Thriller Fest, and they're talking about romance in this very respectful way. And it's like, yeah, you know, I've been going to RT since 2002. You know, and I know romance sometimes gets a bad rap. But romance has really evolved, and you have people who have master's degrees, who have, you know, these, you know, very highly educated professional women, and they're writing really gripping stories. It's not like it was in the 70s. And so it's nice to see like this mutual handshake of respect happen, whether you're at Romantic Times or you're at Thriller Fest. And I was glad that Andrew had brought that up, because I was going to ask, and I'll go ahead and post this to the rest of the panel. You know, how have you been, how have people reacted to you, you know, being at a convention that maybe you wouldn't normally be at? Rick?
Well, the first one that I went to in Houston, of course I wasn't known. I was a little intimidated. I thought I'd have to walk around like the other guys there with their shirts off and smelling good, and looking good. That was an eye opener. That doesn't happen at Thriller Fest.
I mean, you didn't do that?
No, I didn't do that. Okay. No, that doesn't happen at South Church.
Totally, you had to do that.
No, but that let's just say that RT is much more vibrant in that sense, in all the senses. But for me, the first one that I felt was a worthy experience that I wanted to come back. I unfortunately couldn't make those next two, but I made this one. And at this one, people remembered my books, remembered me, and I was embraced. I've had a number of women who said, I've never read your kind of book before. I've come up with, you know, since we know about you, and with the magazine as well, you get reviewed in the magazine, as you were saying, you know, they've broadened, they review everything. And the experience for me has been great. And you're meeting new people all the time as a result of our breakfast this morning. People did come up later to me and said, I'm going to read your book. One lady had cut into it already. Mm-hmm. So I've never read this type of book before. And that's what you aim for, is it's just sort of, you're just reaching out, and the response has been very nice. It's embracing. It's very good.
And it's like just kind of who you meet in passing, that first day in, I'm in the elevator, and there's a couple of women there, and one of them looks at me, and they see my name tag, and I have little pictures of my book covers on it, and one of them says, you're Julie Kramer? I can't believe I'm in the same elevator with Julie Kramer. And I'm thinking, I can't believe someone is saying that they can't believe they're in the same elevator with me. So that was kind of a real, that was kind of a, for an author who's, you know, just kind of coming onto the scene, that was an ego boost.
Well, yeah, and going back to what Rick was saying, do you feel that by going to a convention, whether it's somebody who normally writes romance going to the thriller convention, or somebody who normally writes thriller going to romance, do you feel like that you're kind of an ambassador for the genre you write?
Well, I can only speak in terms of, like, as a romance writer, I invaded Dragon Con. And that is a huge monster to tackle, because you have a wide variety of readers there in multi-genres, and not necessarily romance. They're more into your sci-fi and your
fantasy
mm-hmm. and that sort of stuff. But they have embraced us there, and our sales go out the roof in terms of readers wanting books that they just love the books. And so I think you are an ambassador when you go to these different events that are more genre specific and broaden their horizons.
I think women tend to be a little more flexible in their reading than men. Just my opinion. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I just generally don't read romance. I did read one on the plane ride back because my signing partner at the book fair gave me one. I was fascinated with it. Actually, I must admit, it was a very entertaining read. It was romantic vampires, and it was so different from what I'm used to reading because I read thrillers and mystery. That's what I do. That I was fascinated with it. So yes, I think the benefit for me is that I've now opened a new horizon to me that I normally would not have. Jenna, it's hard for a guy to go into the romance section of a bookstore and buy one of those books with the hunk on the cover.
Right.
Then
really,
they don't want the half-naked guy on the cover when they buy it.
Right.
Most of my guy readers, they have a hard time picking up my book.
Mm-hmm.
But once they get past that barrier,
and that's a good point.
We could tear the covers off, I guess, and read it in the airplane.
Thank goodness for e-books, right? We all need to get e-book real quick, an e-reader. It's funny that you said that about the covers. A friend of mine, Christine Feehan, is known by anybody who reads romance pretty much has at least heard of her. And she started writing this, it's still paranormal, it's romance, but it's military. It's all this military suspense because that she loves to read thrillers. I'm giving out her secret. She does love thrillers. And she's always wanted to write that. And I, the first one that came out, she sent me an ARC, and I saw the cover, and it was this, beautiful girl and all this stuff. And then but before the book came out, they decided they wanted to try and reach out to more men with her with this book. That cover was nothing like it was. And it was definitely geared toward, just male or female. It's like, no, let's not put any kissing. There's no half. Hunks on there. And now she has, her last seven in that series has hit number one on New York Times. And she has an enormous number of male readers she never had before doing this and then change. And she really did reach out to men and thrower readers. Do you see a change in either your book covers now? Are you seeing a change? Or are you seeing your publisher's marketing program change maybe a little bit to be a little more wide in the audience, of trying to reach out a little bit more? Are they still trying to make sure that people see, if you see this, it looks like a thriller. There's no question it's a thriller. It's no question it's a romance. Do you see your publisher response to any of the cross-genre stuff going on?
Well, for me, it's kind of, I'm going to give you kind of a mixed answer. I think the covers for me in my view are straight up thriller covers. I think they strive and they're very focused on presenting the books as straight up thriller covers, but they don't lean one way or another in terms of softening them towards what would be perceived as a female readership or hardening them to the point where they're sort of a militaristic type or hardcore male readership, kind of sort of just generic high concept covers. As for the marketing, they do the traditional things in a very nice way, and my publisher being Harlequin Mira, they do take advantage of the network and the savvy that they have to get the word out about a book. And I know I'm being blogged and chatted about on traditional romance type networks, but that's fine with me, and it seems to be fine with the readers as well, in addition to going with the other. So that's my mixed answer.
Now I have to, I'm gonna put Andrew and Rick on the spot for just a second. Do you take any ribbing? Did the other guys give you half of you at all because you're at a romance convention?
Actually, I don't tell them.
Oh, boy.
He's been outed.
They know now.
They know now.
Thank you, Mr. Engineer. Yeah.
I get ripped, yes. From friends who say, well, why are you so determined to go to this place that you say with guys? You get to vote for guys who are best looking cover models.
Well,
why do you insist on that?
It's not a bad environment being surrounded by 95% women, honestly.
That's
right.
There's your silver lining.
I'm going to say for the record that I am a happily married man.
Yes, because we know your wife's listening.
Yes,
so.
Carla, it's true. Yeah. So I have not been ribbed, really. I think we respect all readerships and genres. I think authors are different from Hollywood in the sense that we're not cutthroat with each other. We really do support and help each other in this industry. I'm amazed at it, really. I did not think it would be that way, but it is.
Yeah, and that's, I know we have about 4 minutes left, so we'll start wrapping it up a little bit, but I would like to kind of end on that note, is that there just seems to be, and I guess because I've mostly been with romance until I started getting in with the international thriller writers and knowing more thriller writers, I've always thought, oh, romance writers are so accepting and they support you, and it's like maybe all authors. I don't know if it's an author thing.
I think we don't really feel like we're competing for people because people can buy more than one book. And people who like to read lots of books. They don't want to get just Rick's book and not get my book. They're always looking for new authors. So we're not in the kind of competition that you are if you're trying to have... If you're trying to sell something to someone and they only need one vacuum cleaner or one lawnmower or one car, I mean, books are a different kind of product.
I think being a writer, you're such a solitary career that you actually enjoy being able to develop a stern brotherhood among other writers. And you have to have a certain amount of insanity to decide that you're going to write and to publish. And I think just... being able to misery and joy is company, maybe, sort of like.
Yeah. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I think there's certainly a collegial family atmosphere among authors. I think that whatever position they're at in their career, it's a very generous community,
mm-hmm.
And for aspiring authors as well. When you're asked all the time, what should we do? What do we do this thing? And that just evolves in the rainbow of issues. In the community. So, yes, it's quite pleasant. And Julie, that's a good example. If you go to a library, there's a lot of books, but there aren't too many cars in the driveway, there aren't too many fridges and stoves, but lots of books.
And Toyota.
Yeah, there you go.
I can say honestly and factually that I would not be sitting here had it not been for Ridley Pearson, who took me under his wing on a conference and helped me, offered me help. Here I was not nobody, and I've been helping other aspiring authors. I think all of us in this room do, and I think it's a kind of a pay it forward type attitude we all have developed, and we've learned.
And I like that the whole pay it forward idea, because I know I found that when I went to my first Thriller Fest, and this the one that's coming up is going to be my third. I was just humbled even. There's all these people, it's like I look, like, oh my gosh, I read that person. You know, I'm a total fangirl like everybody else. That person was so nice, like an everyday person. And you know, it's like, oh, you're by yourself. No, you should come and join us. They were like that, just like they are here at romantic times. And I was just so impressed. I said, sign me up. And now I'm a volunteer and I do things with ITW. And that I really, truly believe in, that this is a good group, you need to go and check out this group. And that's because that was earned. I felt that was earned by that I met there. They're letting me know that we have 1 minute to go. And so what I'm going to do, I want to thank everybody for joining me, and this is going to be turned into a podcast so people can go and get that, and it will be on Readers Entertainment TV/radio, and I'm going to go ahead and put up all your URLs on the blog, so you'll be able to find it there. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time, and this was exciting.
Thank you.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.